Our next reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting at verse 9. And the subtitle of this particular portion is Love in Action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray at this time that you would silence our hearts and our minds, that we might be still before you. We pray that you would prepare us now for everything that you have to share with us. And our heart's desire, Lord, is that you would draw us closer to you, that we might be filled with your Spirit and so be a blessing to the world around us. So please work now and let us be attentive to it, what it is you wish to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. I did mean to say earlier how much I appreciated your prayers over the past 8 weeks. I think I started to feel more human as August came around and more rested, and that was really great. And I'm really appreciative of everyone who filled in for me as well. It was so much of a blessing to be able to rest and trust that everything was going to work, even if there was technological challenges along the way. Thank you for enduring. So this year, one of the things I did is I decided to ride around the Gaspé. Has anyone ever done that? Yeah, it is beautiful. It is gorgeous. But something happened to me while I was riding. I decided, because I'm, you know, a priest, that I wasn't going to use a hotel every night. I had to tent. And one of the problems with my tent is that it was 20 years old. And the last time I used my tent was 20 years ago. And it wasn't a good tent then, but I decided to use it and try away. But every single day while I was riding, there was the threat of rain. And so if you're on the Gaspé, often what you're riding on or driving on is the highway here, and then there's this huge mountain to your left, and then on to the right, there's just open water. And it is so beautiful. But instead of being in the moment and just appreciating the beauty, my mind would go to, I wonder what my campsite's going to be like tonight. And what if I get rain? And what if I have no place to put the tarp over my tent and I get soaked tonight? And what if there's no place to tie up a tarp? You know, what if it's like an open field? I didn't really know what the sites look like. And anyway, all of a sudden, I'm just anxious. And when I stopped for gas or met people at a restaurant, I didn't talk to them. I was just thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Isn't that sad? And I had to keep coming back to the moment and just pausing and just like, this is glorious. And just enjoying it. Jesus told his disciples that if you want to follow me, you need to take up your cross and come follow me, right? If you want to be my disciples, my apprentices here on earth, you need to deny yourself and you need to come and live for me. When our concerns, whether they be whether or not you're going to be dry sleeping or the health of a loved one or financial, when those things start creeping in, we're not living for Jesus. We're living in fear and anxiety. And it's really hard to be a blessing to other people when we think that there's going to be nothing to provide for us. When we look at this teaching to deny yourself, it's okay, you can say that. Deny yourself, take up your cross. I know people that thought that meant you just got to wear a cross every day, and that'll show everyone, the world, that you are a Christian. Doesn't do that very much anymore, but, you know, it's just a piece of jewelry. But what does it mean to actually take up your cross daily? And I think that in Paul's letter to the Romans, he actually says this is what it looks like to live for Jesus. So I'd like to look at that today. But before we do, we need to pause for a second, because when we read Romans, sometimes it says, if you just do these things, you'll be a good person and God will love you. Or if you just do these things and that's all there is to it. But that's not the point of Romans. It's to paint a picture of kingdom life. And so I want to read a quote from C.S. Lewis before we open up this passage, okay? He says this, "The Christian does not think that God will love us because we are good. The Christian does not think that God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us. We're creatures designed to live in a particular way, and to live the good life in the gospel is to live in love with God and with our neighbor. It's not to live in a high-rise overlooking the St. John River, though that would be nice. It is to live in love with God and with our neighbor. And that's what God is healing us, sanctifying us for. So the first part is love must be genuine and it's got to be steadfast. I don't need to paint a picture of what insincere love looks like, do I? We all, I think, have been victims of selfish love at some point in our lives, where people treat us a certain way for their own benefit instead of for our flourishing. Could we say that? And if we are going to be very honest with each other, we could say we've done it too. We've loved people selfishly for our own benefit. And I think we can be honest there, right? For many people in our society today, if you ask them what love is, they'll say love is a feeling. It's a warm fuzzy, or it's a, I'm totally obsessed with this person. But for Paul and for many ancient Christians, love was more about what you did more than what you felt. And what they actually discovered is that feelings often followed action. So when I was the ripe old age of 19, I had a youth group in St. John, and they were wild. I had 30 kids, and they were crazy. And there was one kid in particular who drove me crazy. And every time I tried to do a devotion, he would shout out something completely stupid. And it would just derail my whole talk. I'm like, what's wrong with this kid? So that was one summer. The whole summer I was like growling about this kid. And then the next summer came, and that same kid came to youth group. I'm like, here we go. But something changed. It wasn't him. He was still just as annoying. But I changed. I realized that this kid was trying to be funny. So instead of fighting with him during the devotional time, I started playing with him during devotional time. He'd shout out something completely ridiculous, and I would run with it. And the whole group of us would start laughing because it was so dumb. I loved that kid. He became my favorite youth group kid of all time. Can't even remember his name now. That's because I'm old. But we need to love people where they are at for their flourishing. The question we can ask ourselves constantly in any situation is, Lord, how can I best display your love to the people around me, especially those people that I find challenging, that we each find challenging? Love has got to be sincere and steadfast for the other. I love this one. I love this. In the church, be devoted to one another in love. Hold on to each other. When you hear about churches breaking up over the color of the carpet they put in the foyer, it just breaks my heart. How can we have devotion for each other and honor one another above ourselves? This is love. This is that kind of commitment that we have for one another. Never be lacking in zeal. Be passionate about what you do. I met a guy this summer who knew everything there is to know about honeybees. And I know that's not his discipline. He had another job. And I said, how did you come to know all this about honeybees? Because I grew up with this man. And he said, oh, you know, I obsess about things. I said, you obsess about things? He goes, yeah, to the point where I forget to eat my meals and my wife has to come in and bring me supper. I just sort of focus in on things. He's zealous for honeybees. We are to be passionate for the things that are dear to the heart of Jesus. And who's dear to the heart of Jesus? People. Creation. That's what our passion should be. It shouldn't be that we're forgetting to eat. But maybe we shouldn't forget to eat with those less fortunate than ourselves. In all of this, we know we live in a broken world. And so the things that should characterize this love is in verse 12. Be joyful in hope. Good things are coming. God is at work. Be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. So in all of this, be steadfast and genuine. Be joyful, hopeful, and faithful. The next thing is to be practical and present. Love's got to have boots on. I bumped into an old friend this summer when we went camping, and I was sort of telling him how frustrated I am with the homeless situation in Fredericton. And like, I just don't know what to do. And he said, of course you don't, because if you did what we did 10 years ago, you would get knifed. And I was like, what? He said, because he's from St. John, he said, everything is so much worse in St. John that it's not safe to do what we did 10 years ago when we were building a homeless shelter for teens. He said, you can't just walk into a tent community anymore. You can't just go in the places we went and just goof off and be honest and open with people because it's no longer safe. And he said he's feeling the same kind of pinch right now in St. John that I was feeling before I left here in the spring. It's really hard how do we express love in a very difficult situation when people are so... I said that the thing that I struggle with is the willfully homeless. Like and I know it's not a will thing with addiction, but the power of the addictions so right now are so strong. What do we do? And here in Romans, to lift up our cross, verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. I don't think there's a person in this room who hasn't experienced real need. And I think one of the beautiful things about St. John's Church is that we very naturally meet each other's needs when we have them. It's one of the things I love about this church. One of the areas where I fall down in is practice hospitality. How many hosts do we have here that are really good at it? Betsy, you're good at it. You know, Olive is always teasing me when I try to go see her, so yeah. What does it mean to be good at hospitality? It means you make someone feel at home. Do you know when you come into this place, you are not guests, but hosts? And John Lowndes would love to remind us that back in the day, every church had a hospice built on the side so that the people who didn't have a place to be had a place to be and belong and feel like they were loved and welcome. Maybe we need to get back to that. But we are called to practice that kind of belonging ministry. And to bless those who persecute us. It's very easy to get on one of those threads and comments on a video online and just add more hate and anger to what's already out there. We gotta have a better response to what's going on. And these culture wars that they talk about, I don't want to engage in a culture war. I want to love Jesus. And I want to love others in his name. We are called to bless those, to pray life and express life to people who are cruel to us. Bless. Do not wish them ill. Do not curse them, but bless them. And then this is where we are called to be present in the world around us. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. We have a dog named Tuck. Tuck is about this big now. He's 4 months old. He's going to get bigger. And our neighbor loves Tuck. He loves him. And Tuck loves our neighbor. And our neighbor was away for work in Newfoundland for the last few weeks. And we came home last night, and Dave was there out. He always sits out in his garage, and he saw Tuck, and he didn't want to do anything, but you could tell he wanted to see the dog, you know? So Dave is like nearing retirement age, but as soon as Tuck came over, he's up. He's like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And he's rejoicing in this dog. And Tuck is all over him. He's getting zoomies all over the place, and there's just this moment, and then he calms down, and then I've said, well, I should get Tuck to bed, and Dave goes, thank you for bringing him over. And I'm like, you're welcome. And I said, you're welcome anytime. He goes, someday I'll come over and say, can Tuck come out to play? And I said, sure he can, Davey. Sure he can. But we are to be present with our neighbors and to know them and know what they delight in. What a ministry is that? And when things don't go well, to walk with them through the hard times. That is a privilege. We are called to live in harmony with one another. That's to live with people who are practicing self-giving love. People who are practicing forgiveness when we mess up. To have that kind of grace for one another. This is our calling, to lift our cross within the community of Christ. And not to be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. Even people who cheer for the Montreal Canadiens. Maybe especially them. The final thing in this is to recognize that we are broken, damaged people, right? We're not in any position to judge other people or to exact any kind of judgment. And so the last part here is to recognize that we are in a mess. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, live at peace with those around you. There's only one person who's suited to be a judge. It's Jesus. Our task is to love and to forgive. Jesus' job is to sort out the mess. And do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. N.T. Wright has this beautiful quote that says, revenge just keeps evil in circulation. I love that. So we are called to not ignore evil or pretend it doesn't exist, okay? We're called to trust that Jesus is sorting it out, and we are invited to find creative means to get through it, to be healing. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. That verse there is one of the reasons I'm a Christian today. Because I love forgiving my brother if it meant I was pouring burning coals on his head. That's the truth. When I was a teenager, I was a dark man. Okay, so the thing here is not to pour burning coals, but to destroy the image of the enemy. The Dalai Lama said something like, whenever I make an enemy a friend, I've defeated my enemy. And we are called into this kind of forgiveness. Again, not always easy, but when we remember how much we have been forgiven, it's easier to forgive others. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you think this week we could each of us take time to sit with this passage and pray with it? And ask God, would you search my heart for areas of unforgiveness? Search my heart for areas of people that I will not extend grace to? And say, Jesus, would you please give me grace to love freely like you? Would you give me grace to, in my passion for you, to reignite my passion for you so that I recognize every day as a calling to be an agent of healing and blessing in this world? For a Christian to take up their cross in the everyday means that we love sincerely through our presence and through practical care for our neighbors. We have to love with our boots on. It means that we abstain from evil and revenge and instead work for reconciliation and a healthier, more loving world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example you gave us. We thank you for the means you provided for us to be the children of God. We pray that that sense of vocation would be ignited in our hearts, that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit to be enabled to do what you've called us to do and to be who you've called us to be. And please use us and show us how we can be a blessing in this broken world. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.